Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want to start off this morning by telling you of 10 What My Mother Taught Me sayings. Saying number one, my mother taught me religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. Saying number two, my mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you have an accident. Nobody, Sharon says that all the time. She's still saying it. My mother taught me irony. Just keep laughing, and I'll give you something to cry for. My mother taught me about weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. Mothers, does that sound familiar? Maybe not a tornado. I use hurricane myself, you know, because I think hurricane's more relevant in my daughter's rooms, you know. Woo! I don't even know how they can sleep in it. My mother taught me how to solve physics problems. If I yelled because I saw a meteor coming toward you, would you listen then? My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. I don't think any mother said that, right? Come on. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. Yes, there you go. See, I know that you guys could actually take and add on to that with a million more sayings. I just had to give you a few. Real mothers know right where the kitchen utensils are, out in the sandbox. Real mothers sometimes have sticky floors, filthy ovens, but happy children. Real mothers don't want to know what the vacuum just sucked up. Real mothers know that a child's growth is not measured by height or years or grade. It's marked by the progression from mama to mommy to mom. That's real moms. Real mothers. I kind of like those little sayings, you know. Thank goodness for the internet. They know how to give some really funny little sayings. But, you know, when you want to really get serious, moms, I mean, kids, you wouldn't be as productive and as good as you are if it wasn't for moms, you know. And I thank every mom here. And I want to take you into John, and please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. And we're talking about Jesus now. And this tells you kind of even a prerequisite of how Jesus even thought, right to the point he thought about his mom. He thought about his mom. And then giving you kind of a prerequisite of what has taken place, by this point in time, Jesus was on the cross. I don't think Jesus was feeling too good right now. I do believe Jesus was in a lot of pain. I believe there was a lot of things going on. He had the whole world on him right now. He had the sin of the world on him. Everything was not going, you know, perfect, even though I think Jesus felt it was. But if you and I were to look at it, it wouldn't look too good. But in the midst of all this, Jesus looked down off the cross. Off the cross, he looked down and he saw his mom and he saw the disciples. And if you'll stand with me, I want to read to you what he said. In fact, I'm going to back up to verse 25 if you don't mind. It probably won't come up on the screen, but that's okay. Verse 25 says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." So you got to understand, he's looking off the cross and he's seeing these different people down there. And when he says, "And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Now, Heavenly Father, I do know, Lord, that you have so much concern for humanity, for mothers, for children. And I am awestruck at, even on the cross, even in the sorrow and the suffering and the pain that you were feeling at that point in time, look down upon your mom and loved her because you realized how much she truly loved you. Help us this morning to accept what you have to say. Let your anointing flow this morning, I pray, in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Now, let me give you all the different things that are going on here. First of all, you've got to understand Mary's there at the cross. She's at the foot of the cross. She is seeing everything that has taken place with her son. She has witnessed the crucifixion. She has witnessed his hands being nailed to the cross. She has witnessed his feet being nailed to the cross. She has witnessed the stripes that he bore. She's witnessed all this. You know, I can't even imagine how she must have felt. As you as mothers, if you ever seen your child get hurt, you know, get a sliver in their hand, you know, get a stubbed toe, or they're playing with a hammer and, you know, their finger gets smashed, what do you do as a mother automatically? You run to the aid of your child, right? Because that's your love. You love that child. So can you imagine, which I know that I can't even imagine, but can you even kind of put that to thought, what she must be going through right now? The pain and the suffering that she must be going through right now to see her beloved son. Now, I'm not talking about the Father in heaven now. I'm not talking about the Godhead of Jesus. I'm talking about the manhood of Jesus. She's the mother of Jesus, and she sees her son on that cross suffering. I know at that point, if she could have brought him off that cross any time, she would have done it. So, and I know, mothers, you are the same way. You do not want your children to suffer, so you will do whatever you can to see to it that they don't. So I can imagine the pain that she was going in. Jesus turns to John and says, take care of her. And looks at his mother and says, let him stand in my place as your son. That's what he was saying. Let him stand in my place as your son. Now you got to understand that John lived a very long time. And I believe he took care of Mary until she went on to heaven. I really believed that he did that. He took initiative of what Jesus told him and took care of Mary. On the cross, bearing the weight of the sins of the world on his shoulders, yet he sees to it to take and to make sure his mother is taken care of after he is gone. As God, Jesus is dealing with eternal matters, but as man, he is showing all of us today how important it is to take care of and to love our mothers. I know we live in a society where that's very difficult. I was dealing with a patient, and in that patient, I wept. Internally, I could not do it out in front of them, but they were given the ultimatum to leave a home that was the son's home. They were given a day to leave, 80 years old. She had to go out because the man was on hospice. That means he's dying. She had to go out and had a day to hunt a place up, to find a place to move. She has 10 great-grandchildren and grandchildren that did not even help them move. They had to do it on their own. I was weeping, crying inside to see such a loving family, mom and dad, and what they were going through. You know, so just you understand culture. This is what's happening in our world today, and it's not just, that's just, I don't believe that's an isolated incident. I believe it's going on more rapidly because they've lost something. They lost the really understanding the word love. Okay? Society wants to take that from you. Society wants to destroy love out of your vocabulary or make it some superficial thing that means nothing. So this morning I want to give you seven ways that you can love your mother. Seven ways. And it's in your bulletin. Follow along with me. The very first way that you can love your mom, the very first way that you can love your mom is you can love her verbally. That word verbally means tell her. How many of you have this philosophy? I don't have to say I love you. You already know it. I have told you before, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Or I show love, not just to say it. And that may be true, but I'm here to tell you today, women and mothers need to hear those words, I love you. They need to hear them. Husbands, children, you need to be verbally and verbal to your mom. Now, that doesn't mean be the other kind of verbal that society will teach you. That means I love you. See, Jesus talks about these three words, I love you, in John 21. And I want to turn to that because understand now, Jesus has already died, went to the cross, died on the cross, went to the grave, arose from the grave. Now he's walking among the people. He's walking among his disciples. And one morning in breakfast time, he's with his disciples and they're having breakfast together. And in the midst of having breakfast together, he looks to Simon Peter, and here's what he says. Chapter 21, verses 15, 16, and 17. And I want to just block it down a little bit for you. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? So he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to them, feed my lambs. A little later on, he said again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Time goes progressing on again. Then he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now the context of this three verses starts off with, and I'm going to give you two different types of love that's talked about in the scripture. Our American English takes that word love and destroys it because we only have one word for love. But when we get into the Greek and the Hebrew of the Bible, Bible gives you several different indications for the word love. There's more than seven. I'm not going to give you all seven or even more. I'm going to just give you two. And what we're talking about here is filial love and agape love. Filial love is the feeling love, the touchy love, the understanding that we hold one another. That's the love that husband and wife have together. That's the love I believe that mothers have for the children. And that's the love that at this point in time Peter was saying. When Jesus said, you know, do you love me? Peter was talking to him back. See, God, Jesus was saying, do you, not filial, but agape love. God, agape love is the God love. The love that comes from heaven down and gets into your soul. And you know without a doubt, I godly love you, Jesus. That's the answer Jesus was looking for when he told him, Peter, do you agape love me? Peter looked to him and says, yes, Lord, I filial love you. I have an affectionate love, a physical type love for you, a love that friends have for one another, a love that parents have for the children. See, he was expressing the filial love. What Jesus was truly wanting was the agape love, the perfect, infinite Godhead love that went beyond the feeling. He came to him the second time and said the exact same thing. Do you, Peter, agape, love me? And Peter turns around, I truly, filial, love you. I have an affection for you like a brother or sister or like a friend. I have that. So by the third time, God understood, Jesus understood at that time, I've got to grab his attention a different way. So he said, okay, Peter, do you now, filial, do you have an affectionate love for me? He flipped it around. But by that time, Peter understood. He understood the difference between the filial and the agape love. And he said, oh, my Lord Jesus, you know me. You know without a doubt that I have that godly love for you. I have an infinite love for you that surpasses the feeling, that surpasses everything that is a mother and child or whatever, but it goes even deeper. I have the agape love for you. And Jesus finally said, wow, now that's what I was looking for. Now, feed my children. And see, I really believe when we're talking about love here, we're talking two different types of love. See, when we talk about loving for a mother, we're talking about filial love. We're talking about an affectionate love. But let's transfer that even deeper, that we need to have just not the filial love for moms, but we need to have the filial and the agape love that God puts in us for our moms and for God. Does that make sense? Some men would say, I'm just not turned that way or tuned in that way. I would say, turn around, get tuned in. I'm just not comfortable. I mean, I've heard that word. I'm just not comfortable. How many of you heard that about churches? I mean, I've heard it too. I'm just not comfortable in that church. Well, my goodness, then get uncomfortable. Maybe that's exactly what you need to do is get uncomfortable and get, then maybe God can do something. Come on. Woo, somebody say amen. Sometimes we need to get a little uncomfortable. We need to get out of our, there's too many people today trying to get in their little comfort zone. And I believe God is trying to wrestle it up. I believe he doesn't want you to be in that comfort zone. He wants you to be a little uncomfortable, because when you're a little uncomfortable, you'll do things that are more in tune to what God wants than what you would normally do. Amen. So not only are we to have a verbal love for moms, but we are to love her physically. When was the last time you gave your mom a big hug without her asking you for it? Or wanting something. Yes, honey, you know. Or a kiss on the cheek. Or a neck rub. Or just sit on the couch and hold her for a change. She's the first person who ever touched you. She wrapped you up in her womb for months. And you came out, and her first priority was to hold you. She cuddled you. She stroked your head. She rubbed your feet. She held your little cheeks against hers. She gave you a finger to grasp on. In love, she did all these things. She changed your diapers. She potty trained you. She held the Kleenex for you to blow your nose. I'm here to tell you, mothers need to be held too. They give so much and get so little in return. We need to give back to them. The reason why so many households today are dysfunctional is because we forget to give back that love. That was an amen corner. It would mean more to her than flowers or candy or eating out or a diamond necklace. Well, let's kind of drop the rest of that. But you get the picture. Not only is a mother that needs physical and verbal love, mothers need patience. We need to love her patiently. Mothers have an incredible job with no pay. No position in the business world compares to the physical, emotional, and spiritual commitment she has in motherhood. They say, actually, people that have no children have approximately 30 years of extra leisure time than mothers. Woo! There's an article written about no occupation. Let me read it to you. She rises up at the break of day, and through her tasks, she races. She cooks the meals as best as she may and scrubs the children's faces while school books, lunches, ribbons, too, all need to be considered. And yet, the census man insists she has no occupation. When breakfast dishes are all done, she bakes a pudding, maybe. She cleans the rooms up one by one with one eye watching the baby. The mending pal she then attacks by way of variation. And yet the census man insists she has no occupation. She irons for a little while, then presses the pants for daddy. She welcomes with a cheery smile, returning Les and Laddie. A hearty dinner next she cooks. No time for relaxation. And yet the census man insists she has no occupation. Wow. But here's the point. In spite of all she does for us, we often become impatient with her. We get so used to her taking care of things, we come to expect it and are outraged that those clothes are still dirty, that they're not ironed. You're out of my favorite cookies. Why haven't you cooked the meal yet, Mom? And none of you kids have ever done that. We need to learn to love our moms patiently. Because she's tender to her needs is no reason to take advantage of her. It's no reason that we cannot be patient, but we need to be patient and to love her all the more. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it tells us that we need to learn to be patient with everybody. This means to always keep your temper in control. Amen? That's what patience is all about. You know, and the Bible actually says it, patience is a virtue that Christians that Christians need. All of us need to learn to be patient. And I'll tell you something, if we could ever learn that and truly put onto that, can you imagine how society and how world would turn to want more of what you have? Instead of looking at that person that said a bad word to you or got you kind of a little teed off, instead of just turning the other cheek or just saying, that's okay, I know you had a rough day, you blare out and say something, that's not patience. Patience is a virtue that only God can give. And we need to learn to give our mothers patience and love her patiently. Well, physically, verbally, patiently, what else is out there? We need to learn to love her attentively. Attentively. Mothers, listen as you pour out your heart. She has a sympathetic ear, always has. And even as an adult, you've gone to her when you want someone who will really listen and understand. And she's always and will always be on your side, even sometimes more than husbands or daddies. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. Here's our different viewpoints of mothers. At 4 years old, my mommy can do anything. At 8 years old, my mommy knows a lot, a whole lot. At 12 years old, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. At 14 years old, mom, duh. At 16 years of age, my mom, she's like so not cool. At 18 years of age, that old woman, she's way out of touch. At 25 years of age, this is the world I'm giving you. Maybe some Christians, but anyway. At 25 years of age, well, she might know a little bit about it. 35 years of age, before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. At 45 years of age, wonder what mom thinks about it. See the difference in the concept from where it really kind of gets skewed? At 65 years of age, I wish I could talk it over with mom. See? Susanna Wesley. How many of you have ever heard of John Wesley? Charles Wesley. Well, here we go. She raised 19 children. 19! Man alive, I have hard enough time raising 4. 19 children, including John and Charles Wesley. And there was a visitor in their home one day when Charles was 5. He asked mom a question, and she answered. 5 minutes later, he asked the same question again. She answered. The third time, she answered. Up to 7 times total, he came and asked the same question, which she answered. Well, the visitor was quite perplexed and finally came to her and says, why do you keep answering that same question? 7 times you've done that. And she gladly answered by saying, 6 would not have been enough. Lord, help us to be that patient and that attentive to our own parents as they grow older. In older days, our parents have many fears and anxieties, and Ray and I will both attest to that because we deal with it every day with the older people that have those fears, those anxieties, those question marks on, I wonder if my children really do care. We do. May we treat them as we'd hope to be treated when we are in their shoes. Physically, verbally, patiently, attentively, and now I give you, love her gratefully. Gratefully. An elementary science class had been studying magnets and how metal objects are attracted to them. At the end of the semester, the teacher put an exam question. And in this question, she said, six letters, starts with an M, picks up things. What am I? Over half the children wrote, mother. Mother. Instead of magnets. It would be impossible to enumerate all the meals, the diapers, the sleepless nights, rocking, room cleanings, baths, laundering she has done. But the bottom of the line is, we owe her big time. Amen? Look to the mama right now and say, man, I do owe you. Pastor's really getting on to me. Woo! I owe you. She needs a sincere thank you, not just today, but from a genuinely thankful heart when least expected. When you're at home someday and all out of the blue, you just go to mom, give her a big hug, give her a kiss. Say, mom, I love you. You probably put tears in her eyes, something that she would not or did not expect that you did. Physically, verbally, patiently, attentively, gratefully. Number six, we need to love her generously. Generously. There's nothing too good for her. We could never repay her, but we ought to die trying before she dies. You guys get that? She didn't spend time on herself unless all your needs have been met. She could easily do without, and now it's time for her to have something she wants. Do you understand? And that's sharing to a T. My wife will bend over backwards for the girls. The other night, I told Tom to go get us a couple of ice cream cones, one for Sharon, one for me. Well, when we got home, Alicia said, well, I don't have one. Guess who got the ice cream cone? My daughter did. My wife took it. And that's a mom. That's a mom. Would a dad do that? No, give me that ice cream cone. You can do without. But see? Yeah, you didn't say you wanted it from me. Or you didn't say you wanted one. Now, you could have said that before, but now because you didn't, it's mine. Mothers are not that way. So you understand, moms. You know, she clears her schedule so she can run around with you. She gives up opportunities so she can have and give you more opportunities. So we need to learn to be generous to our moms. We need to love her physically, verbally, patiently, attentively, gratefully, generously, and the last one, we need to love her honorably. Honorably. In Exodus 20:12, in the Amplified, it says, regard, treat with honor, due obedience, and courtesy your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God gives you. See, this is bringing or is binding as long as your mom and dad lives. I'm going to add that one to it. It's another command says that children obey your parents. But honoring them is a little differently. See, If the husband is the head of the home, then the mother is the heart of the home. Don't break her heart. And by the way, I want to say this. It's the only one of the Ten Commandments which includes a built-in promise or a blessing. If you will honor your parents, God makes a promise and a blessing for long life for you. If you will disobey and dishonor your parents, I'm afraid that blessing is not in store for you. You can't say amen to that. So I'm going to close this morning by saying that we need to love her physically, verbally, patiently, attentively, gratefully, generously, and honorably. So, I want to give you a little prelude here. Strong women versus women of strength. A strong woman works out every day to keep her body in shape. But a woman of strength kneels in prayer to keep her soul in shape. A strong woman isn't afraid of anything. But a woman of strength shows courage in the midst of her fear. A strong woman won't let anybody get the best of her. But a woman of strength gives the best of herself to everyone. A strong woman makes mistakes and avoids the same in the future. But a woman of strength realizes life's mistakes can also be God's blessings and capitalizes on them. Woo, that was a good one. A strong woman walks sure-footedly. But a woman of strength knows God will catch her when she falls. A strong woman wears a look of confidence on her face. But a woman of strength wears grace. A strong woman has faith that she is strong enough for the journey. But a woman of strength has faith that it is in the journey that she will become strong. Amen? How about let's give a great hand of applause for our mothers this morning. You are to be honored because God loves you special. Like Jesus on the cross had, even on the cross, had the initiative to look down to his mom to make sure his mom was taken care of. You know, it's hard to really look at that. Oh my goodness. The sin of the world is upon him. All the things and the attributes that were laid upon him on that cross, yet he had the manhood, the humanity to look down at his mother. I mean, I'm talking about God, man. This was God. He had the manhood, the humanity to look down and see his mom and tell his best friend over here, John, become her son. Take care of her. Take care of her the rest of her days. Do that for me. Now that was something. And I look at that and say that to all you children today. Look to your mom. Love her. Take those seven things and just see where you're not at and get there. Because she deserves it. 100%. She deserves it. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, I Thank you so much, because you set the example for the rest of us. Even while you were on the cross, Lord, you set that example. You were teaching us, even while you were on the cross. Even while your life was at its end, you were still teaching us. And what a lesson to be taught, that we need to honor our mothers, take care of them, love them, and do what we can to see that they are taken care of. God, thank you. Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. I think it would be appropriate this morning that if all of us would just, right now, just raise your hands toward heaven. And let's give thanks to our Lord Heavenly Father for all that He has done. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord, in all that you do. Hallelujah. Now stand with me right now. And what I'd like for you to do, and I know some of you can't stand, but I'd want for you right now just to get into the middle. Grab a hold of someone next to you, please. Get across there. I know that you all can't do it. But just grab someone, please. Come on. Just grab a hold. Grab a hold. There you go. Let's just form that full circle right now. You okay there? There you go. That's the way to do it. Hallelujah. Lord, as we unite as a family of God, I pray right now for all these hands, all been gathered together in your name. Now we're not just one individual, Lord God, but now we're a family. And as we reunite, Lord, as a family with our hands tied together, Lord Jesus, and grasping together, Lord, I pray for encouragement to each and every one. I pray for your insight and your love and your consideration, oh God, that you saw so much, you taught us so much, and you're still teaching us today. Be with this family. Be with each and every one. I pray for the children, Lord God, that will take this message to heart and do what they can to let their parents know, let their mom know how much they really do care. Because it's all about the mom today. It's all about the love that we have for our parents. I pray this in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Sharon sang that song. You can go back to your seats and sing it together. Amazing grace, how sweet
the sound
that saved. Closes.